Welcome to Sketchbook Podcast, a discussion about inspiration and process with artists, creators, and designers. I'm your host, Daniel Montoya Jr. Dan Potter, Dan Berard, Dan Valdez, Daniel Montoya Jr. Dan Morrison joins a long and distinguished list of famous Daniels in the marching arts. Why Dan and not Daniel or Danny?
That's a great question.
Thank you. Right off the bat.
I've gone by all three at some point in my life. When I was very young, I was Danny, hanging around my dad's band room. All the parents and everybody always called me Danny. And then I think I, for some reason, probably around middle school, maybe fifth grade, wanted to be taken more seriously, you know? So we went with Daniel. And then eventually, I don't know, Dan just felt good, and that's kind of what I've gone with since.
Your life is very similar to mine in that I was DJ because my dad was Daniel,
okay,
and then Danny, and then about junior year, I go, no, I want to be taken seriously. And yeah. Daniel, I've never gone Dan because my dad, when he was alive, went by Dan, and I'm not Dan. Yeah. So, but it works out because when we're in the same room, we know Dan is you, Daniel's me.
There we go.
That's right. There are many ways I could have started this podcast, but when it came down to it, I knew there could only be one. Dan, you recently joined the Sassy staff, where you taught drum majors and leadership camps at the universities and various satellite high schools. For those that don't know, at Sassy, drum majors are broken apart into teams and assigned a facilitator. And in those teams, a chant is learned and taught as a way of team pride and dominance theory. Daniel, for someone who is part of one of the most creative teams in high school marching band, I have to ask, why did you straight up steal my chant? Why'd you jack it? What's going on?
Man, the honest answer is it was an accident.
I don't believe you.
That chant creation stressed me out more than it should have on that first day of the first camp. And I just asked a kid, like, hey, what do you think? And I'm pretty sure what happened is that they heard your team doing it and they stole it. And then kind of through that, I stole it. But then everyone thought it was great and thought it was just amazing that I stole the chant. So I just had to go with it after that.
I can't. Now what's been your chant now? Is it different? Did you change it?
I did change it. You know, it's the more traditional, we believe Team Dan will win because, you know, we do believe that.
Didn't Evan do that?
Probably.
So basically you have a history of stealing
chants. In some
ways
I'm creative and in chant creation, maybe not so much.
So with words, you're good thing you're not a poet.
Yes, or my wife is the wordsmith of the family.
The wordsmith, does she have a word degree? A degree in the word?
If they had that, she has a degree in communication. So
that's
sort
words.
Of, yes.
That's words.
Yes.
And you communicate through music.
Yes.
Right? Dan, here's a serious question. The first one, maybe the only one.
Okay.
What drives you as a band director, as a musician, as an educator, as a creator, any of those things, what would you say drives you?
It's another great question.
You know what? You sound like you've never listened to this podcast. Go on, Dan.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is the pursuit of excellence, I think. And that might sound cliche or cheesy, but and that's
correct.
Totally fine. But that's something that really motivates me, and being fortunate enough to be at a school like Reagan where, you know, it's a great program and it already was when I got there. You know, there are a lot of fantastic things going on. Really just inspires me to see what's possible, I guess, with high school students and in that realm. But kind of zooming out, I just really think that pushing to see where you can take things from the standpoint of excellence and what's possible. And it's especially inspiring when it is students and teenagers who, you know, we all know can go through their day and just try to survive. And I got through my classes and I'm sort of doing my homework. But to give them this outlet of something where they're really putting everything they have into it and trying to make it something special, that to me drives me every day. And obviously a love for music, a love for classical music. Having my dad as a band director, that was instilled in me from a very early age. So, you know, it's interesting because I think a lot of people find this profession because they fall in love with it and it's something maybe their family didn't do, but they find that they really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was kind of like the family business, you know?
Right,
and
right.
So growing up, it was always like, I knew I was going to do something in music. I didn't know if I was going to play trumpet or be a band director. And it just, I'm really obviously thrilled with the path that I've taken. But also, it's really cool, and I'm proud to be in the family business and follow in the footsteps of my dad, who is just like an amazing human and one of the smartest people I know and an incredible musician. To just carry on that legacy is huge for me, too.
Well, that answers one of the questions I was going to ask, so we're going to skip that one. How many episodes of this podcast have you listened to, Dan?
I have listened to one.
And it's the one where we talked about the Ronald Reagan Band, probably, right?
It may have been that one, yes.
Did we do you all right? Did we? Did Jen Barton and I say some bad things about
no,
you?
No. I really enjoyed listening to
did
it.
You? Yeah, did you like me or Jen better?
It was equal.
It was equal.
Great, yes.
That's a smart... She's not here.
It's okay.
She won't listen to this anyway. Dan, what would you say is your most prized material possession? That's why I got to go material, because some people would say my dog or my spouse or my child... in some order, but I'm curious what your most prized material possession would be.
Man, that's a very, very difficult question.
It's a good one too. You're welcome. This is where the edit button might come into handy.
I think it probably is going to. Man, I've never thought about that ever.
Really?
Yeah, I really
haven't.
There
was a fire in your house.
Yeah.
And everyone was going to be safe, but you had to grab something. Wow.
Yeah.
No one has struggled with this question like you are.
Really?
Right now.
What kinds of things do people say?
Well, you get the obvious, like my laptop.
Yeah.
But you know what's funny? I think Evan and Jason, no, Jason Robb wasn't on here, but Evan said my AirPods.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, laptop came to mind, but then you're like, I feel like that's not, you know, sentimental or super meaningful. It's just
a wedding book.
Yeah, probably.
A trumpet that your dad gave you?
I do have a trumpet that my dad gave me, yeah. Yeah, my C trumpet my dad gave me, and it's pretty special. And Bud Herseth tested it back in like the 70s. So let's go with that.
Okay.
Let's go with that. My C trumpet.
That's a solid answer.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's got like a customized lead pipe. It's a very special horn. So yeah,
all this stuff sounds cool. I'm a drummer. So
yeah.
You know. Now, according to your likes on Facebook, you have 5 movies that you have liked, and 4 are really respectable.
I have no idea when I even did that.
Here
okay.
you go. Right. Number 1 is The Blues Brothers.
Okay.
You're from around here, so that makes sense. Classic. Yeah. Number 2 is Casino, which is a great movie.
Yeah.
Gladiator, fun.
Gladiator is solid.
I mean, Oscar-winning
movie. It's emotional. It gets to you. Come on.
Yeah, an Australian's playing a Spaniard. Come on.
That's true.
Number 4, The Shawshank Redemption.
Uh-huh. Classic. Can't deny that.
But the 5th movie,
oh boy,
is a holiday classic with tagline, Santa's best friend is coming to town. Do you know which movie I'm talking about?
I have no clue.
Up on the Wooftop.
I think like a friend of a friend helped make that movie, and I must have liked it at the time. But I would also say that having not seen it, I'm sure it is up there with Shawshank Redemption in terms of quality.
It looks great. And because it's Wooftop, correct, I think a dog saves Christmas.
That's actually the title of our marching show next year.
You heard it here first. Yeah. TexasBands.com is already blogging. Dan Morrison has announced Up on the Wooftop, Ronald Reagan 2020.
Yep.
I assume it's Aaron Guidry putting every Christmas carol in a show.
Absolutely.
And calling it Merry Guidrymas or something like that.
Yes.
You know, Aaron's greetings, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daniel, is there a person or persons that you credit with jump starting your career? And let's say not your dad.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I would say actually one person would be Professor James Keene, formerly of the University of Illinois, has been a huge mentor of mine. And I've known him forever because he would come out and help my dad's bands at Prospect. And obviously, I played in his band at the University of Illinois, and now he just happens to live in San Antonio.
Isn't that crazy?
So, yeah, it's very coincidental, actually, and pops by all the time and has been, like, really instrumental in my development. But he definitely, you know, put in a good word for me at Northeast ISD and all that stuff. And I think that he's very much in my corner, even though he might not say it to my face. I know he is. But he's an incredible person in my life, and I know he's helped me a lot. Mark Chambers, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't know him, obviously, before moving here, but...
You bought a house for my mom, assuming.
I did, actually.
For those that don't know, Mark Chambers is a realtor, and he has done nothing in music before that.
Not a single thing. Not a single thing of note. Yeah, so the two of them for sure. Levi Chavis has helped me along the way in a big way. Yeah, Mr. Bennett, Tom Bennett has been huge for me too. And a lot of people have supported me. I mean, getting my first job at Reagan was huge and very fortunate break in my career, I would say. And I think that the people I mentioned were huge in that. And then obviously getting the head director job, really a lot of the same people were involved in helping me with that. So
Right on. Now, according to your Instagram stories, I did my research, Dan, you are waking up about 4 a.m. now.
Are you out of
your mind? What is going on? I don't understand this world.
You know, I don't really either, because if you had talked to me a year ago and said that future Dan is going to wake up at 4:30 a.m. every day, it wouldn't even process in my brain.
Yeah.
You know, over the last 6 months, I've just gotten more into like self-care and wellness. More than anything, it was just to make my mind clearer and try to find happiness. Not that I didn't have happiness, but I had seen my wife kind of go through a transformation of really eating well and exercising and finding these routines, and like it changed her brain. Like she just became more focused and clearer and happier, and I got to a point where I wanted to see what that was like. And so it was like kind of gradual, getting up so early. Like it was like 5:30 and then 5 and then 4:30. It was just the morning became like this almost sacred time for me, because no one else is really awake, and I can do my routine. Like I've gotten almost addicted to routines. Like, and I know that sounds, addiction sounds negative, but it's really helped me. Like even traveling, yesterday when we got here, the first thing we did was go to the grocery store to make sure that we had stuff that could make us feel good while we're here. We went to the gym, and I just, those things have made a huge difference for me. Physically, yes, like I feel very healthy physically, but more than anything, it's really just altered my mind in a very positive way. So it's just something that I have really enjoyed. And like I said, something I would never have imagined would be a part of my life. But now it's like my favorite part of my life.
So can you talk about how you start your day? Because that's one of my questions, because I'm always curious how people start their day. And I know it has something to do with the Wall Street Journal. tell everyone how you start. You wake up at 4:30.
I wake up at 4:30. I brush my teeth.
That's good.
And then my dog knows something's about to happen. And so he jumps out of bed. We go downstairs together. My wife is kind enough, usually Ellie, to have like set the program around the coffee. So when I get downstairs, the coffee's already there.
Nice.
I feed my dog and I make a smoothie with various things, this protein stuff and some greens and a banana. And I do that whole thing and I make that. And then I go to the gym usually. I try to get, they open at 5. I go to the YMCA. Love this place. It's great, great locations, like 6 blocks from my house.
Oh, there you
Couldn't
go.
Be better. So I go to the gym and I get there usually around 5, and then 6 or 6:30, I head back home. As you mentioned, I grab the Wall Street Journal. I read that. And then I eat. So I prepare overnight oats every night.
Overnight oats.
Yes. So you take oats and you put them in like a Tupperware. And then I put almond milk and blueberries, and then you seal it and you put it in the fridge, and then it tastes really good the next day. And you don't have to worry about making it because you already made it the night before.
Correct.
Yeah. So that works out well. So then I eat that. Then I get ready and I head to work.
What time does school start for you?
School starts at 8:55, which is pretty late. Yeah.
Yes. That's. I went to high school and it started at 9:20.
Wow.
I think
we started at 7:30. So like this, all this stuff.
This is crazy to me down here, where they're like, why does high school start first?
Yeah.
Because elementary was 7:40 for me, and then middle school was 8:20, and then high school was 9. And it was also
ours was the opposite.
What?
Because our elementary school started after 9, but our high school started at 7:30, which made no sense.
It makes zero sense.
Because high schoolers were up, you know, way later.
Yeah.
Than the fourth graders.
So you live a full day before a lot. I joke that I go to sleep like at 4 a.m.
Yeah, right, Well, I don't think you're totally joking about that.
No. Because when I get into writing season, you know, I start writing about 8 p.m. And so I'm checking Facebook or Instagram, and it's like, oh, Chris Yee's awake, or Jason's awake at 5. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to sleep, you know,
right,
that kind of thing. So I've said this to you before, and I'm going to say it to you again on tape. For some reason, you remind me of the villain or a bad boy in a 1980s movie. Has anyone ever told you that?
You have told me that.
But just, I don't know, because, you know, William Zabka, Johnny from The Karate Kid, he was also in Back to School.
Yes.
He's a white guy with blonde hair. You are a white guy with blondish hair.
If that's all it takes, then
You know, you talked about working out. You have, I think the kids call them muscles. You are swole, as the kids say. You're bursting out of your jacket right now. You're flexing. He's flexing on me right now.
Not true.
He's like, that's just the way I look. Why do you think you look like an 80s bad boy to me?
You know, I guess it must have just been destiny. I'm not sure how to answer that.
Well, Daniel LaRusso, Ralph Macchio, I was told growing up, I reminded people of him, skinny, you know, ethnic looking kid. Mm-hmm. So basically we're living the new Karate Kid through Sassy Chance and
sequel
podcast.
Another sequel.
Another
Let's
one.
Get it done.
Yeah. What would you say is the last piece of music you listened to? And we're actually at the Midwest Clinic and he just got out of a concert. So that's kind of an unfair question.
Yes.
But what's the last piece of music you listened to, Dan?
Yes, I did. And you know, it's funny you say that because I can't even remember what it was called. You know what it was called.
Come Sunday.
Yes.
Shout.
Yes.
By Omar Thomas.
And it was, man, yeah, I was just in the Wando High School Wind Ensemble concert at the Midwest Clinic, and I was blown away. I mean, they sounded incredible. That was such an amazing way to end the concert, too. Mm-hmm, and the kids, you could tell, loved performing it.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a blast. And yeah, I mean, that's the last piece of music I listened to.
It's great. It's
a
great.
Half hour ago.
he is sweeping the nation right now. He's like the most popular composer for and there are always composers that the new hotness, like, oh, you have to play this person. Mm-hmm. He's one of the first in a while that it's like, yes, people need to play this guy.
Oh,
the music's good. It's more than just hype. He's great.
It was fun, but also had substance.
Yeah.
I mean, I really enjoyed it.
It's amazing. Everyone should look it up come Sunday. It's got a great story behind it. Based on your Instagram page, we're Instagram friends. I have to ask you this question.
Okay.
Do you think that you and your wife were born in the wrong time? Are you two of a different time?
I would say it's possible. I think her for sure. I mean, and she's even said that before. Like, she loves eras past.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the answer to that is yes. I'm kind of good. I like being alive right now. I'm good with it. And she is too. But I definitely think that she would have prospered in many of previous decades.
Mm-hmm. She does have a classic look to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you right now you're wearing a very smart three-piece suit or two-piece, really, I think. You have a nice
dress. With a sweater. It's a little chilly here in Chicago,
Illinois. You're dressed very, I mean, and that's what people do here, but you don't look like you would be a band director.
let's get that
out of the way first, because newsflash, band directors don't know how to dress. All right, the khaki pants and the navy blue blazer has went out of style 25 years ago when y'all were doing it. So, how hard is it to win? This is one of my favorite questions, because you don't have to be a winner, quote unquote, to win, but you are winning. Your program is the two-time San Antonio BOA champion.
The one time.
Yeah, oh,
prelims last year, and then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But you won this year. You've won regionals. You've won major shows. I consider in many what you won this year is the hardest band contest in the country, in the world, and you won it. So how hard is it to win, Dan?
Well, and not to again sound cliche, that outcome is obviously not like the end goal for us going into a season, or the way we talk to the kids, or the way we approach anything, for a lot of reasons. But just removing myself from the question, if I may, I think it is it's very difficult to win anything in Texas related to band.
Right.
And any of us that have gone through it, it's just, you know, it's not like, oh, this band every year is in this high place. Mm-hmm, it's every year you have no idea what's going to happen, because... And it's a fantastic community to be a part of, because it's so competitive. Like I talked about at the beginning, the excellence is just, it's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the time that I've moved here, I've lived here in San Antonio for 10 years, and everything, Texas Band was incredible then. And I feel like, especially in the marching realm, it's exponentially better than when I got here. It's pretty unbelievable. And every year it seems it gets exponentially better, which doesn't even seem possible. But yeah, so to answer your question, I mean, I think it's incredibly difficult. You never expect to win ever, especially down in Texas. And, you know, when it happens, it's really cool. And you feel nothing but grateful for, you know, the opportunities you've been given.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm blown away by... Well, and I was going to say this earlier, obviously there's a lot of excellence, but the camaraderie between the bands and the band directors, to me, is pretty special, because, you know, it's cutthroat. It's crazy. It's so competitive, but I've never had anything but a positive interaction with any other director that I see at these shows. And some of them become my closest friends. So,
sure,
you know, we compete, but we're also in it for kids and doing it for those reasons, you know? And I think that that's a really special community to be a part of.
Right. Yeah. The Sassy Drum Major leadership team that you're a part of is like the who's who of Texas band directors. And then people like me and Manny Maldonado who write music. But like, it's Mike Howard there, somebody who you bested at BOA San Antonio. And he just won Grey Nationals, right?
Yeah. And I mean, like I said, he's one of my closest friends.
And, and he just won Honor Band, and you just played at Midwest.
Yeah.
And then you have Jeremy Spire. Like, you have all these people that have beat you at some point or that you turn around and beat. And at the end of the day, you're just like, hey, we're going to go hang out and we're going to party. Cause how much money was added to your paycheck after you won BOA San Antonio?
Oh man, I'd have to sit here and think about it for a while.
I mean, that's the thing, right?
I wish that was a real question. Let me put it that way. Yeah.
if you were on a coach's contract, perhaps. Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And I mean, you won, quote unquote, playing at Midwest. Like that's a win.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So you and the program are not just, we only win at marching band, right? Like, yeah. I mean, you've played at Midwest. That's a big deal. You're an honor band finalist. That's a big deal. Like, it's obviously hard all year round, not just in the fall, right?
Yes, yes.
So the Reagan band, the marching band, has marched the Rose Parade and the Macy's Parade. Which one is better and why? Please give specific details.
You know what I'm going to say, right?
they're both such high esteem. No, I know. That's why I got to ask this. No, I mean, but it's, I feel like you did it, the Rose Parade 2 years ago. I mean, was it 2 years ago?
It was January 1st, 2018.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so it was not that long ago, which is crazy. It feels long ago, but like I said, you know what I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Both are incredible.
Sure.
Both were life-changing, amazing experiences. And I think that the kids had just an absolute blast.
Yeah.
You know, I applied for the Macy's Parade because of how great of an experience we had at the Rose Parade. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And, you know, it's one of those things where you kind of talked about with Midwest. It's like you get in and then you just get to enjoy and celebrate.
Yeah.
You know, you get to go and perform. And obviously you want to do a good job, but there's the removed pressure of there's no retreat at the end. You know,
that's right. That's
which
right.
is nice. And you get to, it's a celebration of accomplishments mm-hmm. just being there. And after doing the Rose Parade and feeling that, I was inspired to find a similar outlet for the students, and the Macy's Parade was definitely that. I mean, it was everything about it was incredible. And quick shout out to Damian Gonzalez and TMF because they've killed it on our Midwest and our Macy's trip. Yeah, Damian is amazing.
He's gonna love this because he says like, I'm never on your podcast. I'm not even a band director, and I keep getting mentioned. It's like, so Damian Gonzalez, look him up. He's the man.
Good work. Yeah,
he does. So you're dressed up very nicely. You don't look like a band director. If not band, what else do you think you would be doing?
You know, that's a very good question.
You're right. That's why I ask it.
There you go. I've thought about that a lot, and I'm not sure I've ever come to a definitive solution to or answer to that question. Because like I mentioned, I'm in the family business, right?
You are.
I realized in the last couple of years, I never really even considered something else, you know? And the older I get, I start to realize I do have other interests and things that I enjoy doing and, you know, things that I gravitate towards. But that's a tough question. You know, I was interested in like finance and things like that and financial advisor, but then I was
That's what it is. Wall Street. You look like you belong on Wall Street.
Yeah, you know, maybe, but there's so many things that I would lose doing something like that I get out of a career like this, you know, the creative side of it and the kids side of it and all of that stuff goes away, you know? And so,
Kid Wall Street, maybe?
Kid Wall Street. You know, I think that's a good idea. That's your next business venture.
My hobby is having hobbies, man. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. You and Hector Hill, do you know Hector from Vista Ridge High School? Seem to be the best dressed band directors in Texas.
Wow.
Can you describe your style or your fit or, as the kids say, your stees?
I have not heard that
one. Well, you're not down with the sickness like I am.
I guess it's very true. you know, I don't know. I would say maybe classic modern. Is that fair?
Yeah,
does that work?
So. Yeah.
That's pretty vague, I know.
It's vague, yeah.
And we're taking out the
I have to wear my band director polo in my
right,
slacks.
Right. And I do the band director polo thing when needed.
Sure.
But I do enjoy, you know, wearing things that fit right and look right. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably some of that inspiration I've gotten from my wife over the years as well.
It's amazing how a good fit changes everything.
It really, if it fits, it's going to look good probably. Absolutely. It almost doesn't even matter what it is.
Yeah, and I remember Jeremy, when he first started doing the state marching contest things, he would say, what do I need to change? And I go, just take in your jacket and your pants. Like, what? I'm a little guy. It's like, no, I promise you. And so if you look at old pictures, he's got the boxy
box.
Every year, and then this year, he finally got like a tailored suit. And it's like, there we go. Like, that's what it should have been.
He's right.
Like, you're right. I was like, yes. I'm not telling you to go mankles and wear sockless like loafers
or
something.
That's a look,
which
too.
Which is a look.
It's definitely a look, yeah.
And I talked about the ankle, the hem, and I was like, well, what do you want? He goes, break, no break. He's like, what's no break? I was like, well, and you know, what's this? So it's band directors out there. Just because you're a big guy doesn't mean it has to be big clothes.
Yes.
So that's how I always wanted to do like one of those, like, let's go take a band director shopping. But the problem is, band directors don't make a lot of money, so I mean, you can find nice stuff at Target. But
like you said, I'll take my BOA bonus and we'll go shopping.
Oh my God. Magnificent Mile is not down the street, but it's close enough.
It is.
We're going to go shopping on your BOA bonus. Dan, what item would you die to get your hands on if it went up for auction? And money was no object. Like, this thing came open and you're like, I have to have that for my house, my car, my office.
You know, for some reason, when you say that, my first thought was a Da Vinci painting.
Oh.
Now, I'm not sure why, but that's what popped into my brain. So I'm going to go with that.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Wow. You're the first one to answer really good about that.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. All right. Here's a long question.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
When Reagan first opened and burst onto the scene, the design team consisted mainly of in-house homegrown talent. Mark Chambers and Kevin Nex, both directors, were responsible for the drill and visual coordination. Aaron Guidry, the on-again, off-again percussion instructor, arranged the wind book with Carol Chambers orchestrating. And the percussion book was written by staff members, depending on what year, Aaron Guidry, Alan Joannis, Craig Turner, Roland Chavez. Those years were the first wave of Reagan dominance in Texas and competitiveness nationally, culminating with a Class AAA championship in 2005 and 2 second-place overall finishes in Grand National Finals, though some might say Reagan should have won one or both of those, but I digress. Reagan is experiencing a second wave of Texas dominance, and one can't help see the parallels to the in-house design team. Mm-hmm. Guidry has returned to arrange the music, with now you yourself orchestrating. Mm-hmm. Mason Daphne designs the drill, and Ray Ulibarri arranges the percussion book, both assistant directors. So my first question is, well, maybe two questions. Why the move back to the in-house design team, and when and why did you decide to make this change?
You know, it kind of happened for a variety of reasons, but it happened over several years. And I have found that having people that are super invested in what you're doing makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that probably sounds obvious, but having lived through it now for 2 years, it's really pretty incredible. And even though Aaron obviously is not a director and mm-hmm. lives in Las Vegas, and Andy Toth also, who is a huge part of what we do, is also not a director and lives in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
those guys are really invested in what we're doing and make it a priority, and we have a great relationship, and it almost feels like they're also in-house,
mm-hmm.
and it makes all the difference in the world. I mean, it really does. To be somebody's priority and to have Mason in the same building
mm-hmm.
and go over there and talk through things and rewrite things and do whatever you have to do to make it right, man, that's been huge.
Mm-hmm,
And maybe the biggest contributor to, you know, some of the success that we've been fortunate enough to enjoy. Obviously, all those people are incredibly talented.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, and so that goes without saying, I mm-hmm. think. But then the next level, to me, is exactly what you're talking about with it being in-house. And I don't think it's any coincidence that back, you know, in the early 2000s, it was the same thing, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
And so when everyone's invested in a creative product like that, it can yield some pretty inspiring results, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Reagan has always seemed like a one-of-a-kind, special, and unique program. Others have tried and failed to copy and emulate Reagan shows, Reagan vibe, Reagan aesthetic, et cetera. What does it say about the Ronald Reagan Band program that for almost 20 years now, they continue to excel, entertain, and innovate?
You know, it's cool. Like I said, when I got to Reagan 10 years ago, it was obviously a great program.
Right,
like, I remember going in high school to Grand Nationals and watching and being like, oh my God, look at that plume thing. Oh my God, this band is amazing. Like
right.
never in my wildest dreams did I think, oh, I'm going to be the head band director of that school
sure,
someday.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
that's kind of a cool thing that I think about because it's a vivid memory for
mm-hmm.
me. But it's really special. And I mean, Mark Chambers obviously mm-hmm. is a huge reason why even now we're still having success
right.
because not only was he the first first band director at the school and put it on the map. He became, you know, fine arts director and hired me and hired a lot of great people and was really invested. And I don't know, you probably know this, but we were fortunate enough to get a new band hall recently. And we
now, is it a
named
new band
it,
hall or is it an extension?
It's a new room. So
new
it's,
room? Where
yeah,
is it at?
So it's right, it's, you know, the school, obviously. It's, you know, where the trees are, where this that staff parking was?
Yes.
Towards the band lot? Uh-huh. They built a new room there.
No way.
Yeah, so where that wooden door closet uh-huh. storage room yeah. was, that's now a hallway into the new room.
And so is the old band hall like an auxiliary band hall?
So now we have two rooms, which is great.
And what's interesting about, like, you know, Reagan and Johnson are two of the most well-known successful programs, and they had like the smallest, like it was like, yeah. hey, here's our band hall, yeah, and then yeah. we have the two little ensemble rooms, but that's right. where like steel drums were held, and that's
exactly
where the marimbas are.
Do that.
You have
yeah.
no room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
But we named it in Mark's honor, so it's the Mark Chambers Band Hall, which is I'm yeah. very proud of.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw the photos.
Yeah.
That's great. That's fantastic. So I want to ask you now about yourself personally, Dan.
Sure.
Let's get personal.
Do it.
What's your worst habit?
My worst habit.
He's struggling because
there's just so
he's
many.
Like, I'm perfect.
No. Not at all.
I think some would say you are, Dan.
Wow, that's really
kind as I look into your deep ocean blue eyes, which matches your blue lanyard.
Yes.
Compliments of the Midwest Clinic?
Yes, absolutely. You know, one, I would say this is kind of a weird one and maybe kind of gross, but like sometimes, you know, people are like nervous things, they bite their nails,
yeah.
do things like that. Like I kind of
rubbed
the skin on my thumb. I got my mom does
like
this.
Cuticle
like
area?
I inherited this. Yeah. and so there'll be times where I'm in like, it's maybe a stressful thing or I'm really focusing on something. Or retreat. And then I'll look down and my thumb is like bleeding. I'm like,
oh my
God,
gosh.
This is bad. I got to not do this. So
wow.
that, and it's kind of gross, I know, but you asked the question.
Nope. So. And people are like, I bite my nails.
Yeah.
Or I'm stubborn. I want you to know all of these are written down. I'm a good innovator. I'm a good jazzer.
Yeah.
Not really. But I want to be prepared for these things.
Absolutely.
So that's why I want you to know this when I read certain things. You have beautiful hair.
Thank you.
Can we say that you have overtaken Eric Whitaker for best hair in music?
I don't think we could say that.
How do you know about that?
I don't feel comfortable saying that. Yeah, that's
choir
a lot.
People are going to line up outside yeah. Reagan and go, they're going to shave you and then go like, how's that now?
Yeah, exactly.
Eric Whitaker, their stands, they're going to come after you. have you ever had not so good hair? Maybe,
maybe
when you were part of one of the most successful boy bands of all time, perhaps?
I am about to show you.
Is it the picture that?
When I had not so good hair.
Oh my gosh.
Am I showing you this? This is when I first moved here. I had not so hair, really.
And you looked a little bigger, too.
I was.
You were rounder.
I was a different person. Let's just say
that.
Oh, my
God. That person, you were inside of this person. You shaved your head, basically.
All of college, I rocked the buzz cut for some reason. I don't know why I thought that was a good idea. It was not, I can tell you for sure.
You look better now.
Thank you. Yeah. I would not be with my wife if my hair looked like that when I met her.
Now, was it your wife? No, on your Instagram or is your mm-hmm. Facebook, way deep. It's a deep cut.
Mm-hmm.
I think your wife provided the photo of you where they where then somebody superimposed your head on Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yes. That was funny. Yeah. At least I had hair at that time.
You
yeah.
did.
It was a humid day, you know, and a student was inspired to put my face on top of somebody from NSYNC.
I think it was Justin Timberlake.
Yes.
Because he's, you know, white and blondish.
Yeah, right. So, and like you said, that's the only requirement. that was funny. That made me laugh.
It tickled me because yes. I do my research. I do my research. So I am captivated continuously by being in your presence. Have you ever acted or modeled before?
Oh my goodness. That's just a completely out of the blue question,
yes,
right?
Yes. I look at you and I go, that man needs to be in a 1990s, early 2000s yes. Chicago print ad
yeah.
or something like that.
You know, it's funny you say that because indeed I
what?
Was.
No.
Yes. So my older sisters were involved in modeling and acting. And so I think my mom just thought, well, let's just see if Danny wants to do it.
Danny.
Yeah. And so I was in print ads. I was in the Sears catalog and JCPenney. I was in a Matrix hair product commercial. That's probably the pinnacle of my career.
All these things I know about, and all three of those things, I don't think anyone who's under the age of a certain point knows what's like.
What, I guess that's true.
Now yeah, mention Marshall Fields, Dan.
I think it might have been Marshall Fields too, to be honest. Gosh. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I was in those catalogs wearing some overalls and, you know, sweatshirts.
And you had
Osh,
like,
gosh, bagosh.
Hot, oh my God. Yeah. And you had like blonde hair.
Oh yeah.
When you
it
were
was
a little
like
kid.
Almost white. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You were super blonde. And then you got dirtier. Dirty blonde is like, yes, dishwater blonde, if you yes, will, if you'll allow.
It has gotten dirtier over the years. Almost brown at times.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. You don't put some sun in, some lemon, lemon drops in your hair?
Maybe I should do that. You know, then I really could be in a boy band.
I think that you could, all the people in Northeast ISD, you could put a boy band together.
Yeah.
it might be a very niche boy
yes,
band.
Yes, that's a nice word
I
for
think
it.
The Texas Bands kids would totally yeah, be on your side.
I think you're probably right.
Horn Rank would
good
be
contingent,
all over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they would love that. How does it feel to be, I was going to ask this question, I asked you some research questions uh-huh, earlier, and I thought it'd be fun to ask you how it feels to be the least successful, least famous Morrison in your family, but that's untrue.
You know, I get by somehow. I get by. No, it's great to be a part of such an amazing family. I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's yeah, awesome. I'm not going to ask you about thing everybody asks you about.
That's
your
fine,
father
yes,
or your sister. You have joined the new generation of program coordinators or program organizers.
Yes.
The current flock of former band directors, Jeremy Spicer, Jason Robb. I'm not saying you're a former band director.
Correct.
Levi Chavis. And now yourself, where you help design and guide process.
Yes.
What are some of the advantages of hiring current or former band directors as program coordinators or program organizers?
I think for me, I do that role at Reagan, mm-hmm, and it was just something that I had always done after I took over as the head director. It was something I enjoyed doing, and I think I kind of developed an understanding of the activity in a big way over the first few years of my tenure, if you will, as head director. Uh-huh. And I think that I've really seen the value in having somebody in that position to help coordinate designers, to help. And, you know, as you know, obviously, what I do with schools is really different based on the school and what mm-hmm, their needs are. But, you know, helping guide concept, sort of having an understanding of things that are important in terms of the elements of what you put into a marching band show. Because mm-hmm, I'm kind of the belief that, yes, you want to have a creative concept. Yes, you want there to be a theme and all those things. But I think almost more importantly than any of it is how you're creating the effects and yeah, and the pacing and the staging mm-hmm, and how it's all put together. And then obviously, yeah, the concept's important, but having somebody that's keeping an eye on those things and making sure that it's being communicated and coordinated between the different elements of the design staff, I think really goes a long way because, you know, the music arranger and the drill writer and the choreographer and all those people have a very specific part of the process that they are engaging in. And sometimes there might already be a lot of communication between those people, but I found more often than not, it's like, okay, here's the music. Mm-hmm. Okay, here's the drill. Okay, here's the choreography, as opposed to finding a more holistic approach to it. And I think that's kind of what we try to do at Reagan, is really have all things being considered at all times. Mm-hmm. And I think someone that's a program coordinator is the person that can help make sure that's happening.
Yeah, yeah. It seems like in a lot of ways, band directors just need help with mm-hmm, the process of designing and or the organization of all of it. You know,
yeah.
I think like there used to be this one title, the program coordinator, right? Mm-hmm. And that person was responsible for the designing and all stuff. And now you get some of these people that's why I say like now there's program organizers. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a word anyone's used, but you know, I look at people like David Duffy and it's like, that's a program coordinator, a program designer.
Yeah.
Because you know, they're coming. And then you have people that literally are just coordinating, program
yeah,
coordinating or program organization. And sure, I imagine in your experience, some schools, some directors need more help with the, I don't know what kind of show to do.
Right.
And or it's like, we kind of want to do this. Can you help me? Or we've mm-hmm, never, how do I talk to Aaron Guidry and Pete Weber and Ray Ulibarri? Like,
yeah,
I don't know how to do that. And it seems like your role, Levi, Jeremy, Jason, et cetera, like you're kind of helping that, maybe being another band director, maybe
yeah,
being a mentor
in some ways,
of sorts.
Yeah, yeah. No, I absolutely agree. And kind of to your point about some people are helping with the actual creative process, and then some of it is is more logistical. And I think that to be successful with it, having sort of a mix of both of those things is important.
Absolutely. What would you say is your life's motto?
Be happy, but not satisfied.
You're the first person to come out with a motto like right away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like, what's my life? Well, you know, like just breathe, you know, I mean, but, yeah. But you're like, you like have one.
Well, it's a mantra, if you will, that I use a lot, and I use it with the kids. And I think it's great. I mean, I think that you want to go, relating it to SASE in the curriculum this year with thinking that happiness is on the other side of success.
Right.
And then the goalpost of success moves. So yeah. You never actually get there.
Correct.
You know, I think that being driven and wanting to achieve at a high level and wanting to do great things and continuing to find the next thing is good. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy doing that. But, and especially, like I said, in these 6 months of sort of wellness and discovery that mm-hmm. I've gone through, like, I want to be happy along the way. You know, I want to be happy while I do that, not, oh, I finally did this thing, now I can be happy, because that might last a day.
Sure.
Because then you're starting on the next thing.
Absolutely.
Right? So it's not an easy thing to do. But yeah, I think that that's what it is for me.
Fantastic. I dig that. On your Facebook profile, mm-hmm. one thing you have listed on your about page really caught my eye.
Jeez, I don't even know when I would have edited that.
You have your AOL Instant Messenger handle listed.
Oh, wow.
You do.
That's special.
When's the last time you logged on and chatted on AIM?
To be honest, I didn't even know I had done that, like, while Facebook was around. I have no idea. I was very active in the early years of AIM, for sure.
Right, yeah.
Not as much recently. I'm not sure it exists anymore.
Oh, what's the significance of MOR1635, which is the name?
Yes. Well, MOR, I think, is kind of obvious.
For yeah. Morrison.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Right, yeah. And I created, this has been around a long time, and I kind of wish I could change it, but so many things are this now that I'm just like, ah, whatever, it's not that bad. 1/6 is my birthday, January 6th.
Oh, happy future birthday.
Oh, thank you. And I guess it's coming up, huh?
It is, yeah.
I hadn't even thought about that till you said that. And then, you know, this is really going to be mind-blowing. 3 and 5 were numbers that I liked when I was younger.
Now, is there a significance of why number 3 was a number you liked?
No, I don't. I think I just liked it. It was like my basketball jersey number. Oh, in
were you a baller?
Basketball. I wouldn't say I was a baller. I was very fortunate to be on good teams, because uh-huh. like we won the championship twice.
Story
two
of your life.
Teams. Two, yeah. I know. I'm just, you know. But yeah, I would not say I was a baller. I did enjoy basketball. I enjoy watching basketball now.
That's funny. Adam Keita. Do you know Adam?
I do.
He sent me a message mm-hmm. and he was like, I'd like you to ask this question to people. I was yeah. like, great. If you get a chance to interview band directors who grew up and did band outside of Texas and then moved here, mm-hmm. I'm curious as to their reactions of the UIL rules, such as the 8-hour rule and the sight reading procedures.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't mind the 8-hour rule at all. I actually like it because it forces us to have a life, because, you know, if the 8-hour rule was not there,
yes.
We all know what would happen.
Yeah, yeah. The last band that did that, they changed some rules in UIL for that one.
Well, and it would be, you know, every Saturday. It would be.
Is that what Prospect was like?
No, honestly, it wasn't. We did Mondays and Thursdays, 6 to 9 usually, mm-hmm. and sometimes Wednesdays. And then the thing that was nice was that you could sometimes do that all day Saturday and really get some stuff done.
And you have a competition.
Yeah. So that was nice, and I wouldn't necessarily mind that, but. Kind of going back to what we said earlier about how competitive Texas is and how, you know, the level of excellence is being pursued at the highest level, I would say, I just think that it would become a self-fulfilling prophecy that everyone would be rehearsing even more than we already do. So
you're right.
I don't have a problem with the 8-hour rule. And then sight reading stuff, we didn't really have that in Illinois. Mm-hmm. I think it's cool. I think it's really great that it exists. And sure. I think that they're making some changes, you know, slowly but surely, that are going to make the process even better. Mm-hmm. But I think it, in general, is a great thing. And then one thing that isn't related to those specific questions, but when I can tell you that at my first marching contest when I moved here, walking through the warm-up lot, mm-hmm. was pretty eye-opening. It was just like, is this the band that's going to win? And then, like, no, not even close to right. the band. Everyone just sounded incredible. And you get used to it a little bit, but right. man, when I first came here, it was mind blowing walking through the warm up lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. This is not on the script.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask it. 'Cause I ask you, How many Grand Nationals have you attended as a fan? I would imagine you...
A bunch.
Almost all of them, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Prospect went pretty often in the 90s.
Sure.
And then, like, when I was in high school, I just went and watched. Mm-hmm, So, yeah. And then, obviously, as a director, I've gone a few times.
Yeah.
Too, so.
And obviously, I'm from Texas. Mm-hmm. I've been with bands that have gone and competed and done well there. I've designed for bands that have made finals in there. And there is this Texas ego, Texas homerism, where we say, like, well, we're just better down here.
Right.
And we, you know, there are some things we're not great at. Yeah. Some things that we do better, some things we're getting way better. Is BOA San Antonio the most competitive contest year after year?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I just want to put that on record. There are people, especially on the internet forums, oh, there's no way that the BOA champion would ever come in. And what's interesting is I don't know that the BOA champion from San Antonio has ever come in one Grand Nationals on the same. We have this history, and please don't take any offense,
of not
sending the best show by that band on that year.
Mm-hmm.
Vandergrift just happened to like break that curse. Like Flower Mound, if they had taken their surreal show or their Da Vinci show, it would have been like they would have brought it home.
Yeah.
I think if you had taken what was before One Love,
if you
had taken Everyone, I think you would have won.
Mm.
If Johnson had taken Chameleon, like it's just we for some reason in Texas,
I know
it doesn't line up.
Yeah, yeah,
and it sucks. But but I think like more often than not, I got to give props to Avon and to Carmel and to Blue Springs who are like, let's go down to Texas and let's see what happens.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And hey, I'm not going to call anyone out, but there are a lot of Grand National finalist bands that could easily just come over here to San Antonio and see what's up. Do you encourage them to come down, Dan?
Absolutely.
Let's do it. Right?
I love everybody. Yeah, come on down.
And we want to see these bands. Like we want to, there are some amazing things that happen outside of the state.
Yes.
And they spin well, they march well, they play well, they drum well, they electronic well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get them down here, Dan.
Let's do it.
Dan is calling you. Dan is laying down the
gun. Yeah. Come on down. Come on down, everybody.
You
would love it.
Can they all rehearse at Reagan High School?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes. At the same time.
There we go. As a Texas transplant, I would like your thoughts on the following things. Torchy's tacos.
They're good. Even though I'm not from Texas,
don't defend it.
I thought it was cool when it was like only one location. And now that it's more of a chain, I feel like you could relate to me on this in your personality. Now that it's become a chain, it's a little less special.
Thank you. Yeah. We're kind of hipsters in some way.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Chewy's.
Oh, man. Doesn't make my body feel good, but tastes good.
Oh, gosh. Taco Cabana.
For fast food, man, I haven't had Chewy's or Taco Cabana in years, but for fast food, it does all right.
Is that Las Palapas still in the corner there?
Uh huh.
Is it good? Do you ever go there?
I think I've maybe had Las Palapas twice.
They were good at breakfast.
The breakfast was good. The green sauce is good. Yeah.
Yes,
I'm a big green sauce connoisseur.
Oh,
yeah.
Whataburger. Whataburger.
Whataburger is good. I like Whataburger. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan.
Okay. Mighty Fine. You ever been to Mighty Fine?
I have not.
They're in Austin area.
Okay. Yeah.
I guess that would answer the next question. P. Terry's.
Nope.
It's an Austin area one. Rudy's Barbecue. They're down there.
I like Rudy's. I mean, for a chain barbecue place, they do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Salt Lick up here in the Austin area? Well, up here.
Yes, I actually. I went with a friend who was visiting several months ago, and I enjoyed it a lot.
Very great. Yeah. You ever been to Franklin's? You done the Franklin's thing?
I have not. I've not done. I would like to. I've heard about it.
Is that a call to action that the Dans should get together and go to Franklin's barbecue?
I think it might be.
I don't wake up early, Dan. But you do, so.
Yes.
Plucker's Wings.
I've not ever had it.
Oh my God.
I know.
You were just talking about the temple that your body is. So all these questions, you're like, why would I put that in my body? Okay. Now you are in San Antonio. So now I can ask you San Antonio specific.
Okay.
Alamo Cafe.
Alamo Cafe is a good spot. It's a good place to go. So our stadiums are not far from Alamo Cafe.
Correct.
So if we have somebody in town, like a clinician or whatever, it's a good place to go after rehearsal. The tortillas are homemade and very delicious.
Yeah. All right. The Pearl.
You know, I love the Pearl.
What's your favorite restaurant there?
Cured.
Yep.
But I mean, everything there is great. Cured is a special place. I love the interior. I love the aesthetic. I love the food. I've gotten to know some of the people that work there, and they're great people. I mean, it's just Ellie and I feel at home there.
That's great. Let's get controversial. Mi Tierra.
Is that controversial? I don't know.
My take is.
We take our All-Staters there at TMEA. So
well, they're
fun.
Young. Their bodies can handle it.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things. You do it, and it's fun.
I'll allow that.
Yeah.
Favorite breakfast taco in San Antonio?
I would say Panchitos. And I don't know if you've ever had it.
I don't
think so. It's like Hildebrand and McCullough, I want to say. and it's good.
Oak Street, I recognize.
It's really good. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right. What's the most underrated thing about San Antonio?
I think San Antonio is just underrated in general.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. I think in like, even in the time that I've lived there, mm-hmm. when I moved there, I was like, oh yeah, this is cool. And obviously meeting my wife, she knows, she's a native San Antonio and knows everything.
Is she really?
About San Antonio.
Where'd she go to
yeah.
school?
She went to St. Mary's Hall private school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah. but no, I mean, San Antonio is, I love it. I mm-hmm. love living there. It's a very easy city to live in. Like you said, the Pearl's great. Southtown. I don't know if you've ever been to Southtown, but that's, I think you would really enjoy it a lot.
I might have, is that like a revitalization?
Yeah.
Jeremy mm-hmm. Spicer and I went to an establishment down
okay.
there
yeah.
after, during state marching contest. And
you should check out more spots in
really?
Southtown. It's yeah, it's really cool. The King William District. It's like all these
yes.
historic uh-huh. homes that they've redone. And there's a lot of great restaurants and things like that mm-hmm. down there. So yeah, I always tell people that I love San Antonio. It's a great place to visit, a lot of stuff to do.
That's awesome. What's the most overrated thing about San Antonio? You can say the Alamo, it's okay.
You know, it's funny, my Uber driver was asking me about the Alamo earlier.
Ugh.
I've never been in the Alamo.
You're not missing it. Well, you're obviously not a Texas kid because
yeah.
you have to go to the
Alamo. I've heard
that,
yeah. We recently visited the other missions, and they're beautiful, and that's really nice. We like saw a mariachi mass at one of the uh-huh. missions, and that was really cool.
My wife, you've never met my wife.
I have not.
No, I can't. We don't say her name
okay.
in anything.
Yes.
But
the
girl. Yes. We came to San Antonio, and she goes, "We're going to do the mission tour." I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
And it was like 100 degrees, and I complained the entire
yeah.
time.
100 degrees will make anything not
correct.
Fun.
But she loved the mission tour. So to hear
yeah.
you say, it's like, great, there's another man I cannot introduce my wife to. So the Alamo was the most overrated? The Riverwalk,
yeah.
maybe?
The Riverwalk. Oh, my gosh.
Seriously.
Yes, absolutely. Like, maybe the most overrated thing I have ever known of.
Known. That's correct. I would agree with that.
And honestly, I'm so passionate about it because there are so many great things in San Antonio that are not the Riverwalk. And then people are always like, oh, when you go to San Antonio, oh yeah, the Riverwalk. It's like, no.
Yes.
Like, okay, you can visit it. Yeah, okay. But
just
that's not the main part of your trip.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We talked about the most overrated things in Austin, and one mm-hmm. of them is the Oasis. Have you ever gone there?
No.
It's the one that's like the restaurant on the lake and you
oh,
see
okay.
the sunset.
Yeah, yeah.
The food's not good. The drinks are not good. And,
yeah.
And it's just, but you go, you take people, you're like, oh, I guess we're going to the Oasis.
Yeah,
and
bad margaritas.
Yeah.
Bad Mexican food.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, yes. No offense. No. Thoughts on sparkling water, specifically Topo Chico?
Oh, I am a huge fan of all sparkling water and especially Topo Chico.
What's your favorite Topo?
Just the all natural.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank
yeah.
I like lime. I started with lime.
Yeah.
And then I went and then I cut it out. I'm like, let's go real.
Yeah. No, just the pure is the best.
Only
I think.
Only 90s kids, right? Is
yeah.
that what it is? Are you a 90s kid?
Yeah.
Like, are
yeah.
you really?
Wait, yeah.
Were you,
I was a kid
oh,
in the
you were
90s.
Born in, what year were you born?
I was born in the 80s.
No, that's right. Because you're an 80s bad boy. That's right. Dan, how many performers are in your visual ensemble?
This year we're 88.
Don't you think that's a bit unfair?
I don't, actually.
Well, as a composer arranger myself, I have been told many times that my music changes moods too fast,
uh-huh.
that there's not enough time to change equipment, change color, change
right.
mood. But with 90 plus members,
yes.
that's not an issue for y'all.
It is not as much of an issue.
No. So follow up question to all these things. Do you think that Vandegrift winning mm-hmm. Grand Nationals with a similar ensemble bodes well for groups such as Reagan if, when you ever return to Grand Nationals?
I don't know how to answer that. I think that Vandegrift's dance team, it's dance team and color guard.
Just the vision dance
the
ensemble,
vision dance
I think
ensemble.
Is what it's
yeah,
called.
Yeah,
please don't
fantastic.
At me.
No,
like we said
no, no, no.
Incorrectly.
I think that our sort of visual ensembles are quite different because ours is some of our Reagan dance team mm-hmm. and then a color guard.
Gotcha.
And so they combine to sort of create the Reagan visual ensemble, as mm-hmm. they call themselves.
The
and
RVE,
so
yes.
The VE, yes. And so that I really like all of the variety and opportunity that provides us because we have some just Val Sisson is our dance director.
Okay.
And the fact that she was willing and is still willing to be involved in what we do is pretty incredible. But I mean, her girls are phenomenal. I mean, they win state championships and national
uh-huh.
things. And I mean, it's pretty unreal. And to get some of those top girls in the marching band show is awesome.
But you don't think it's an unfair advantage is what you're saying?
No, absolutely not. I mean, Val and I are close friends. We do a lot of recruiting. You know,
yeah.
we're working for it.
No.
I know.
You look at the Avon Guard and they're like throwing, I don't know, 12
right,
or something.
Yeah.
And like, it's like pop, 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 pop. And it's like,
yeah.
that's unfair.
Yeah.
And you
exactly.
look at you and you're like, that's unfair. And then you look at Reagan, I mean, Vandergriff playing and marching. That's not fair. Like everyone's, they got their advantages, right?
Yeah, you gotta abuse them. You gotta play to your strengths.
Use them and abuse them, as they say. Yeah. Dan, for the folks listening to us at home,
yes.
In their cars, in their bathtubs, in the subway, walking their dogs, at the gym, typing up invoices, waiting for results at a marching band contest, or guarding a bathroom during standardized testing, please describe in excruciating detail what shoes you are wearing.
I mean, they're just black dress shoes. I got them actually before the Rose Parade because we wore black suits.
You did.
And I got everybody these nice matching green ties.
The Harry Potter scarves?
The Harry Potter scarves. Those scarves, they were a phenomenon. Like I was not ready for those. What those scarves did.
Yeah.
We actually got the idea from Keller because it was so cold in the Macy's parade last year that they had to wear their overcoats that they had and their scarves in the parade.
Oh my God, we saw
them with that. And they told us, oh yeah, the scarves were great because if the kids wore them in the city, you knew it was a Keller band kid. And so we were like, yeah, let's do that. This is a great plan.
Yeah.
But the design came out super cool and it got crazy. Like they were talking about them on the news and random people were asking me for them where they could buy one.
So Reagan band fundraiser basically. Now,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. But yeah, that scarf like took on a life of its own that I was not expecting.
So will we expect a scarf trick up in the rooftop next year for Reagan 2020?
The scarf would definitely tie into that theme, don't you think?
Oh my God. Yeah. Look,
we're giving away our trade secrets.
We really
right now.
Are. So yeah. Should I hold this episode until the first marching band contest in October? Dan, what advice would you offer to your 18-year-old self?
Oh my gosh. So many things.
The haircut, right? Is that
first and foremost? Yes. Like I would shake myself. Don't do it, because that's right around the time when I did it for the first time.
Oh my God!
And it was like a self buzz. I remember it. It was me and one of my best friends that I've known forever. We were in the communal dorm bathroom, standing by the sink, and I went for it and didn't turn back after that for 4 years, 5 years maybe. My first year at Reagan, I still rocked the buzz cut.
Wow.
So that would definitely be involved in the advice that I would give myself. And you know, don't be dumb. You know, you just do such dumb stuff at that age.
Sure do.
Yeah. I'm glad that I made it on to the other side.
Yeah. You thought we were going to get out scot-free, but here we go.
Uh-oh.
Spurs or Bulls?
Man, that would have been Bulls hands down, but I really like the Spurs.
Even this year?
We're on hard times right now.
But
that's when you got to remain a fan. You're correct. That's when it feels good stuck in the bad times.
That's right. Well, because according to your Facebook page,
uh-oh,
you like two sports-related Facebook pages. Die Hard Chicago Bulls fans and Chicago Bulls.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about the Spurs there, buddy.
Yeah, I have not been as active about seeking out these things that you've brought up in quite some time here. But I love the Spurs. I think it's a great organization.
It is.
And I think that Popovich is awesome and inspirational.
Go Spurs, go.
Yeah. So, and you know, speaking of liking a team on hard times, the Bulls have been bad for a while.
Man, that Derrick Rose curse.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy for Derrick Rose now. He's doing well on the Pistons.
Has he lasted longer than a week?
Yeah.
Mr. Glass, man.
I know. That was devastating, all that stuff. But I would say probably Bulls still, because that's my hometown team. But I really do like the Spurs a lot.
And are you a Bears fan?
So when I was growing up, I just liked the team that was good, you know? And so I actually was a Cowboys fan for a while.
I had a Cowboys starter jacket. You people are not allowed on this podcast.
I mean, I'm talking like way back, okay? And then the Packers.
That's when I really hated them. So, okay.
Then the Packers started to be good. So it's like, oh, okay, yeah, cool. I like the Packers.
So you're one of those.
But nah. So my dad, I knew he liked the Bears, but I think that they were just so frustrating that he kind of gave up and didn't outwardly cheer for anybody, so I just guided myself through who to like.
Gotcha.
And so then, but when I liked the Packers and they were good and they were winning Super Bowl, I got to an age where it was like, well, I think I'm supposed to like one team now. And so it was like I stuck with the Packers for a long time, which was very controversial living in the Chicago area.
Yeah, that rivals.
It did not go over well with almost anybody, especially not any of my friends, really. So, you know, I lived through that and it was fine. But recently, now that I've moved away from Chicago and kind of want to feel pride for my hometown, I'm trying to get into the Bears. All this being said, I'm not a huge football fan.
Okay, so I can count you as a Cowboys hater.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's all, and if you've ever, you haven't listened to any of these podcasts, but I tend to have Cowboy haters.
I know that you are a Cowboys hater.
I'm a hater. As long as people are like, well, what team is your team?
Yeah.
It was the Oilers, and then they left. Now I don't refuse to root for the Texans. I just feel weird trying to root for the Texans when I was an Oilers fan. And I'm not rooting for the Titans because the Oilers.
But yeah, no, anyway. I get that.
I chose my team growing up. It was Warren Moon and the Houston Oilers, and I hated Danny White and the Cowboys, and to this day.
All right.
You're welcome for that, Dan. Thanks for bringing that up.
I just don't feel that passionately about it. I don't know. I'm sorry.
So what's next for Dan Morrison? Not literally like, what are you doing after this recording? But like, you're on Christmas break. Happy non-denominational winter holiday break.
Yes.
You start school up in January.
Yeah.
There's no more parades for the Reagan Band to conquer, I imagine.
This year.
Maybe a Hawaiian parade. what's next for you in life? What's going on?
Well, we are just doing the concert band thing in the spring. Looking at playing Pines of Rome. So we're excited about that.
Yes. With your fourth band, I'm sure.
God. And this isn't really a secret because I told everybody at the holiday concert.
Oh, my God.
But the Reagan Band will be attending Grand Nationals.
Oh my God! In 2020,
yes,
up on the rooftop.
Yes, you heard
it
here
first.
Yes,
that's not a secret that anybody didn't think about. I want to ask you this question.
Yes,
and I debated about asking you this question.
Okay,
but I'm going to do it. And if it doesn't work, I literally will cut this out.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't. And this is no offense to anybody.
Sure.
You are part of a program that set the score record for BOA San Antonio this year.
Yes.
Right. Second place was the eventual Grand National champion, Vandegrift High School.
Mm-hmm.
If you go off of the theory of trans whatever, one would think that perhaps Reagan would have done very well at Grand Nationals if you had gone this year, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, you would have done well. You would have made finals. Let's say you would have made finals.
I think so.
What is it like as a director to see that win happen? And is there a little bit of buyer's remorse on your part? Without giving any offense to Vandegrift,
because
it doesn't take
all.
Anything away from them, but you kind of look at, you're like, oh man, what if we had gone?
Well, I think it ties into the whole thing that you were saying earlier of like, it's just, there's no possible way to know what the right year to go is, you know?
Yeah.
And Texas bands don't necessarily always go on maybe the best year for them to have the most competitive success, and it kind of is what it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I try to always tell myself that, and you go on the year that you can go, and we're on kind of like a 4-year thing right now. So this is the year that we're going to go is next year, and we knew that going into it, and we still wanted to be as good as we could be and do all those things and know that our season ends at BOA San Antonio, you know?
Right.
In terms of buyer's remorse, I know why you'd ask that, but I didn't feel that. I just felt really happy for Vandegrift and for Mike. And, you know, that they were incredible. I watched it on the live stream. It was this is just sick, you know?
It was amazing.
To see somebody who is really good achieve success just is nothing but happy thoughts for me.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Well, I mean, the best thing that could happen is you just drive down to Austin, Texas to pick up the Eagle and just bring it back to San Antonio, right? Not back to San Antonio, bring it to San Antonio, where it should have been in 2003 or 2005. Is there anything you want to plug, Dan?
Anything I want to plug? I would say my wife's Instagram.
Oh.
Yeah.
Speaking of, what's the handle? Oh, my God. You don't know?
No, I think it's...
Is it O. Eleonora?
I think it's just Eleonora Morrison. Let me double check.
Oh, my gosh. He doesn't even know. He's
well,
like...
No. Come on now. Don't throw me under the bus here.
But you're doing it all on your own, Dad.
Yes, Eleonora Morrison.
And you should spell that for the kids.
Eleanora Morrison.
Oh, only one S in Morrison.
There's only one
S. I've been spelling that wrong.
Two R's, one S.
Eleonora Morrison.
Yes.
And what's the significance of the plug? It's not just a random Instagram page.
It's kind of involved in what she does in terms of like her business and her platform. I told you this before we did this. She's so much better at explaining what she does than I am. But she's incredibly talented and she posts pictures of us. So you can see us on there.
Yeah. If we want to see your flowing locks.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you can see what we're up to.
See what you're up to. Yes. Dan, it has been a pleasure to have you here today. You are an absolute delight. I hope that my fangirling has not come across too obvious on this recording.
Not at all.
But I'm just lost in your eyes.
I really enjoyed this. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming and after rescheduling.
You know what? You're welcome.
This episode of Sketchbook Podcast is hosted by, edited by, and produced by me, Daniel Montoya Jr. in Chicago, Illinois. Our logo is created by John Suh of Purpose Designs, and our music is provided by Epidemic Sound. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got questions, comments, suggestions, or concerns? Email us at sketchbookpodcast@gmail.com. It, too, could be featured on a future episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, @SketchbookPod. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Sketchbook Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Anchor, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. Thanks for listening. And as always, started yet.
Okay.
So I'm going to read a script, and then I will then read your intro, and you'll know when I'm ready for you.
Okay. Sounds good.
So...